This is KHOL News. I'm Robin Vincent. On Tuesday, 19-year-old Israel Garcia voted for the first time. He was inspired to vote in Wyoming's primary election thanks to a high school class called We the People, led by Jim Rooks. That's his former social studies teacher and now the Jackson Town Council frontrunner.
We learned about our government and went and competed, and honestly, that class kind of opened my eyes and about like all the different problems there are in the world and a bunch of stuff that just goes like right over our heads. So honestly, I feel like that made me want to come out and vote today.
Garcia was among the 41% of registered voters that cast ballots in the primary election. While he did so in person, the county saw a spike in absentee ballots due to the COVID-19 pandemic. Now, this year's turnout was higher than the 2016 primary, but it was a far cry from the Valley's general election voter numbers. In the last three general elections, voter turnout has hovered around an impressive 96%. In other words, this primary race is likely only telling us half the story. But here's what we know so far. According to the county clerk's unofficial results, Jim Rooks garnered 1,441 votes, the most of any candidate in the nonpartisan town council race. The longtime educator says he's running to unify the community. Here's Rooks at a recent town council candidate forum.
I think we're all kind of tired of the hyper-partisan, vitriolic, poisonous politics that have come to be the norm at the national level for sure, more and more at the state level. And I'm ready for our community to come together.
Mayor Pete Muldoon followed in the polls Tuesday with 1,234 votes. During his mayoral tenure, Muldoon has advocated for the working class. He's been a strong advocate for affordable housing in particular. He also has acted fast amid the COVID-19 pandemic, enacting ordinances to slow the spread of COVID-19 when the county health officer struggled to obtain state approval. Meanwhile, realtor Devin Veman was third with 1,068 votes. The realtor has made housing central to her campaign. She wants to see smart, sustainable growth through a variety of housing options in the Valley that meet the needs of community members across the economic spectrum. And this was something Muldoon and Veman sparred over. During a political candidate forum last week, Muldoon called into question Veman's association with Goshen County Rep. Shelley Duncan. Duncan is among the state lawmakers that drafted legislation that would have dismantled Jackson's affordable housing program. Here's part of the exchange between Muldoon and Veman from last week.
Devin has spoken a lot about her support for housing. I would ask what she's actually done to support housing. And one thing that I know, that we all know that she's done, or most of us probably, is to work behind the scenes with a legislator from the other side of the state to undermine our housing mitigation program, which requires developers to provide housing for some portion of the jobs they create. This program was created and supported by our community, and its very existence is threatening due to the work that Devin and a lot of the realtors around the state have done to whip up opposition to it.
To insinuate that I'm working behind the scenes with a legislator just because she's my friend is a record that I've set straight numerous times. And I have openly expressed that I don't think mitigation rates should go away. I think they need to go down, though.
Veman, Muldoon, and Rooks will all advance to the general election. The question is, which write-in candidate will join them in vying for the council's two open seats? There were 339 votes for write-in council candidates, and both Jessica Sell Chambers and Jennifer Ford mounted last-minute write-in campaigns. Sell Chambers is running a campaign focused on supporting Jackson's working class and marginalized populations. Ford, meanwhile, says she wants to diversify Jackson's service-based economy and lower the requirements that developers face when it comes to the amount of housing they have to build for employees. The suspense on who will advance ends Friday when the county clerk's office releases detailed results on write-in votes. The mayoral race, once uncontested, also has a write-in candidate likely to be on the ballot in November. But Michael Cooter has some work to do if he intends to be a viable challenger to Vice Mayor Haley Morton-Levinson. She had a strong showing in Tuesday's primary, capturing 1,556 votes. Morton-Levinson touts her 8 years of experience on the council and her focus on working families. The mayoral race clocked 711 write-in votes, but it's unclear just how many of those were cast for Cooter. He's running on a platform focused on shaking up the status quo. He laments housing projects that the Jackson Town Council has rejected, like a project for 155 homes that developer Larry Hune proposed in Hog Island last year. Elected officials rejected that project because of concerns that the housing would not remain affordable in the long term. Now, least contentious, yet nevertheless notable, was the primary race for Board of Teton County Commissioners. All four candidates will advance to the general election, plus independent candidate Wes Gardner, who wasn't on the primary ballot. On the Republican side, Peter Long received 1,969 votes. Long has experience in the nonprofit and political milieus, including as executive assistant to former Vice President Dick Cheney, and on the National Security Council in the George W. Bush White House. Meanwhile, Christian Beckwith followed with 1,234 votes. Beckwith is a longtime mountaineer, writer and editor, and founder of the Shift Festival. Conservation and environmental issues are at the forefront of his platform. The clear frontrunner so far? That's Teton County Commissioner Natalia D. Macker. The Democrat captured 2,444 votes. Fellow Democratic incumbent Greg Epstein drew 1,950 votes. He has touted his experience on the board, his commitment to solving the Valley's transportation issues, and moderate stances that allow him to work across the aisle. Now, Macker, though, stands out in several ways. She's the sole woman on her board and the only woman among the candidate pool. And she's made the needs of women and working families central to her policymaking, supporting affordable housing and working to increase access to childcare for working families are central to that, she says. During a political candidate forum last week, she also appeared best equipped to tackle issues of diversity and representation in Jackson Hole. The candidates vying for a seat on the commission are all white, and some stumbled over a question about improving representation for Jackson's Latinx population and other folks of color. Macker outshined other candidates by offering actionable ways to address the Valley's systemic inequality.
When it comes to our governmental institutions, at a bare minimum, I think we should start requiring diverse representation on our appointed boards and commissions so that we can build the pipeline of leadership in this community so that we don't have elected boards that don't represent our community. I think we need to expand the accessibility of our public processes, again, at a bare minimum, by translating our documents and making our meetings more accessible while reimagining what public engagement looks like. I'd like to see us conduct equity audits internally in our organization and start evaluating our policies through an equity lens. Given our role in making decisions about land development, I'm interested in doing work to develop a land acknowledgement so that we could learn from and recognize the indigenous people who originally stewarded the land that we are all now governing.
While the race for Board of Teton County Commissioners has just one woman candidate, the same cannot be said for Wyoming's federal races, which are seeing historic female representation. The Republican and Democratic candidates who clinch the top spots in Wyoming's race for U.S. Senate and U.S. House of Representatives are all women. In the race for U.S. Senate, Democratic candidate Dr. Merev Ben-David, a scientist and University of Wyoming professor, is facing Republican Cynthia Lummis. That's Wyoming's former four-term U.S. representative. They're vying for Senator Mike Enzi's seat. He announced his retirement in 2019. But perhaps the most interesting race is for Wyoming's lone seat in the House of Representatives. It's between Northern Arapaho tribal member Lynette Grable and incumbent Representative Liz Cheney. If Grable is elected, she would become the first Native American to represent Wyoming in Congress. Grable has been an advocate for missing and indigenous women and a lobbyist for environmental justice. She wants to diversify Wyoming's energy sector, protect public lands, and create a more equitable state. She told KHOL she thinks Wyomingites are ready for this kind of change.
I've always been involved with conservation and our public lands, and then of course always having clean water. But these things are important for, I think, all Wyomingites, whether you're Republican or Democrat. All of us utilize our land to hunt, to fish, to camp, to explore, to hike. This is the beautiful thing that we have here in Wyoming. We have such a treasure. So I plan to bring the issues of the extractive industry that is wanting to begin drilling and doing extractive measures on public lands. In my research, I found out that a lot of our parcels, Wyoming parcels, were sold to oil industries, and these companies were based in New York, Colorado, and Texas. Some of these parcels were sold as little as $2. So a person like me or you, you know, we can't go buy an acre or a parcel, you know, just for $2. So why should $1 million, $1 billion companies be able to do that, and they don't even reside here? So there's a lot of other issues that I feel like need to be talked about, because a lot of regular Wyomingites don't understand what we're facing here. We're losing our own land to other companies that don't even reside here. But not just that, they have no good intentions for that land. And these are in our communities, these are in our neighborhoods, these are in where we live or we hike or we travel through. So these are important. That's just one of them. I also know healthcare is always a big topic. I plan to fully move forward to see what is the best option for healthcare, an accessible healthcare and affordable healthcare. I've had previous debates on this, but really, honestly, the bottom line in healthcare is going to be, you know, where is the current administration is going to stand in November. Once that is set, then, you know, I would work collectively, if elected, to see how we can implement healthcare issues for the state of Wyoming. I know Medicaid expansion is a huge topic, but we also have to think about Wyoming's budget. So there's a lot of different factors in play there.
Grable said she respects Representative Liz Cheney as a woman leader, but she said she hopes to reveal Cheney's true intent and motives. Grable argues that she represents everyday people and her opponent, Cheney, represents millionaires and billionaires. I'm Robin Vincent. This is KHOL News.